I hope everybody here had a very good breakfast, and because we're about to do a whole extended talk about food and meals. Jesus was a guest at a large banquet in a village, and he uses this opportunity to tell two parables. Both parables describe the resurrection and the arrival of God's kingdom as a banquet. Jesus is likely drawing on everyone's familiarity with the prophet Isaiah chapter 25, where this very event within human history is described as a meal, as a banquet. And Psalm 23 draws on the same idea as well, the sense that the Good Shepherd is the one who prepares a feast for us. Jewish writing from Jesus' time uses this picture of a banquet as well, although with some significant differences that Jesus is likely turning on their heads. Both of the parables challenge entitlement, self-importance. Both parables make it clear that God is the master at the salvation banquet, and that everybody who comes, comes as an invited guest, summoned by the Master, and seated at God's grace, in God's timing, and that God is choosing to invite people we would not expect. The Jewish writers of that day took Isaiah's words that God would prepare a banquet for all the nations, and then turned it, those words, against the Scripture itself, saying that, well, yes, God has prepared a banquet for the Jewish people and all who are part of God's people, and for all the nations it is a banquet of destruction and disease that is being prepared. This is not how Jesus understood God's work. But today is Mother's Day, and I thought of talking about my mother's cooking. It's a day that I'm recognizing how good God was to me, how much mercy God had on me, that I had a mother who was patient and provided and granted wisdom and direction in my life. We won't say anything about the wooden spoons. I wonder if you had similar experiences as a young person. If you were outside or somewhere in your home and you heard these words, supper time, dinner's ready, come to the table. Now, I knew my mother's voice if I was outside in a group of kids playing somewhere in the playground, and she would come to the door and holler down the street. It was an invitation to some degree. Joel, supper time. And if I had been playing outside for a long time that day and I was getting hungry, I was waiting for those words. And when I heard them, it was exciting. I could not wait to get back. And some days, even better, I knew it was a special meal. And my favorite always was when my mom would make lasagna. Or her turkey dinners were always excellent. Sometimes we would, as children, we would intentionally eat very little all day and be as active as possible to work up as much of an appetite as we possibly could. And when she finally did call out, "Joel, supper time," something happened inside me. First, I was hearing my mother's voice. This was the voice of someone I loved dearly. It was a voice that meant to me comfort and care and laughter. But the words themselves were so good to hear, supper. And so not mixed in with all of my affection for my mother was the relief coming at the end of all the waiting, the anticipation of the meal, excitement and happiness. These things happened within me as I heard my mother's voice say, "Come." In today's parable, I hear something similar, but it is Jesus' voice calling to each one of us. And the more you get to know that voice, isn't it true? The more you get to know that voice, the better it sounds. Just hearing Jesus' voice can be good for your heart. You think of the one who loves you and whom you love. You think of the comfort, the peace, the healing, the hope that comes from knowing Jesus. And all of that is caught up when you hear him speak and call you. And the words themselves are good. Come, for everything is ready now. And the anticipation, the relief that your waiting is over. What is it that you are waiting for? Come, everything is ready now. Are you waiting for forgiveness? Are you waiting for victory over sin? Are you looking for a group of people to call friends, even family? Come in. Are you looking for hope, healing, peace? Are you looking for guidance or purpose in life? Jesus says, come, everything now is ready. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is calling us after long days of work and pain, grief, emptiness, sorrow, sin, and we are hungry. Jesus says, come, come in. Joel, supper time. It is an invitation. But it is something more as well. Because, all to be honest, there were times when Mom said, supper. And when I was in the middle of something, I assure you, was very, very important. You know, there were games of hide and seek being interrupted. There were video games that couldn't be saved in the middle of a stage. And I would lose all of my progress in that game. And Mom was saying, come. And I just wanted to say, I'm in the middle of something very important. Now, what would happen if I did not obey my mother's call? What would happen if I just didn't answer? Come for supper was not simply an invitation. There is an air of command around the word when Mum is the one applying it. And I found a few times to my own discomfort that when she called, she meant it. She had spent hours preparing that meal, and it was time to come. And nothing else was more important. This wasn't a trivial matter. It was for my own good to come and join the family, to come and eat what I needed to eat, to receive what I needed. And we are not talking about just our mothers or our fathers. We are talking about Jesus, the one who is the beginning of the world and the goal of the world, the one who gave his life and who rose from the dead for everyone, the authority over all authorities. It is this person, Jesus, who is saying, who is commanding, come, everything is ready now. Both parables underline that everyone who comes to this meal is there at the mercy of the Master. We cannot choose even where we sit. We come by Jesus' choice, by Jesus' love, by Jesus' grace, by Jesus' invitation, at Jesus' command. It is not earned. It is not owed to us. Jesus isn't returning us a favor. This is not our right. It is grace. But are you right in the middle of something really important right now? What could that be? What preoccupations stand between you and coming to Jesus today? Say that again, Troy. Being at church, you've come. You put aside, you weren't here last week, were you, Troy? Yeah. But you're here today, and I'm glad. Coming to Jesus is not just one more thing that we need to fit into our schedules, and not one more to-do on our list. This is the one thing that reorders all of the other responsibilities and priorities that we have in life. In fact, I wonder if this is not the key lesson that every human being is being given the opportunity to learn in this life. That every human being depends on God for life itself and for salvation. That we are being given the chance to learn that it isn't just by the food that we eat, the food that requires us to work. It isn't just that that gives us life, but that we literally depend for life on the Holy Spirit. Now, by grace, we are sustained and renewed day by day. But the invitation for us is to know Jesus and to learn that in all things, we must submit to God and depend on Him moment by moment for our breath, for the beating of our heart, for the working of our minds. This is the source of our life. And the distractions that we have are the sense that there are actually multiple things that provide life and that are essential for us. It is natural for us to be drawn into thinking that the pleasures of life, our work, our the money that we need for shelter and food and clothing, that all of these things are essential. But I tend to think that what we are trying to learn in life is that we pray, we come to church, we read the scriptures, because this is the source of life. Maybe through other things it comes to us, but in the end, this is the source of life, God Himself. There is nothing more important than coming when Jesus calls us. Now, these stories encourage small practices that develop the skill of humility. And Jesus is encouraging us to practice thinking a little bit lower of ourselves and putting others first, practicing that so that we might become, even if it's only slightly, that we might become better people. But at the same time, in making this about the kingdom of God, Jesus is clearly talking more about humility at meals and in social settings. Jesus is talking about humility in the kingdom of God and the assumptions that people make. On the one hand, as believers, as Christians, we have this sense of assurance that we are saved. We know that we can be baptized, forgiven, spirit-filled. We know that we are waiting for the resurrection. But on the other hand, none of those things entitle us to a seat at the table. We never at any point own our own salvation. It never becomes a right, a possession. But any assurance we have, any certainty we have, remains the gift of God. We have certainty because we make an effort to know God, to know God's love and God's grace, to know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and to have the sense that these things can be assured because of who God is. In other words, we can only be certain in as much as we know God and know the voice of Jesus. We remain at God's mercy. And so the ground before the cross, as we say often, the ground before the cross is level. And everybody comes in a lineup, no matter who they were in this life. One person next to the other, all coming to the cross in the same way, by the grace of God. And what was unexpected to the Jewish people of the days was how people that they thought of as being outside of the blessing of God were being treated with special favor by Jesus. People who seemed to be under God's curse were being touched by Jesus and blessed by Jesus and healed by God. And what was going to be even more upsetting was seeing Gentiles being included and treated as equal members of the people of God. Let me risk a little digression here to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. I know many it has become a contentious issue. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, for those of you who haven't heard these words trotted out, talk about the efforts made over the last 60 years or longer to try and account for some of the injustices, as it is described, whereby people of a certain minority of some kind are seen to not have the same advantages as others. And so adjustments are made within hiring practices, in government policies, to try and account for those differences. But this has been seen as an attack out of the left, of a socialist, anti-Christian movement that seeks to destroy the Christian heritage in the West. That is how many people today, maybe even up to 50% of North America, are feeling at the moment. And my suggestion is that we see in the parables today that the efforts made to include and to be equitable and to celebrate diversity are actually in the work and teaching of Jesus Christ. That Jesus, part of what he is addressing here in this meal, is that there is a tendency for a group that has authority and is in a place where it can exclude to tend to do that. And that God, through Jesus Christ, was undermining that and saying everybody will be welcome at this table. Now, I am at least a little aware that the way it is used by some people is indeed anti-Christian. And indeed, someone like Michel Foucault, who was a philosopher, for those of you, just a name I'm trotting out here, Michel Foucault was a philosopher through the middle of the last century, who is often seen as one of the early champions of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I agree that Foucault's part of what drove him was to see the destruction of Western society. Because only then, out of the ashes, could some truly just society be rebuilt. And that is something worth resisting. But it's not one or the other. There are both of these threads in our culture. And I do argue, and maybe I should be stepping aside from this lectern to say, not the Lord, but I, Joel, do interpret our cultural times in this way, that we don't need to be threatened by the efforts to try and address what I do believe have been injustices, and a way in which, whether you are an Irish person coming to North America in the 1800s, an Italian coming at the turn of the 1900s, or a Ukrainian coming to Canada in the 1920s, or Chinese throughout all of our history, or whether you are an indigenous person, that there have been this pattern of making it hard for the minorities from having equal access to all the opportunities. You can stone me later, I suppose. I think, at least in part, the origins are here in Jesus' teaching, that everyone is welcome at that table. But many of the Jewish leaders were acting as if they were shoulder to shoulder with God the shepherd, addressing all the sheep. Here, God, I can handle this. Here's what I think you mean to be doing. Now, I don't mean to offend you, God, but I know what I'm doing here. I've got a lot more practice in managing people and your church. These are the people you wish to invite, and not these ones. I think you're making a mistake here. But indeed, Jesus is not just condemning them and excluding them. He is interested in being their pastor, their good shepherd as well. He is wanting them to recognize how desperately they need to realize that they are sheep, just like everybody else. And if they act as co-shepherds, then the shepherd cannot lead them. The shepherd can't lead them to water or food. The shepherd can't restore them or comfort them. And the shepherd can't lead them through the valley of the shadow of death. Instead, they are on their own journey, their own path. Or to switch metaphors and parables, if these people act as if any of us act as if we are entitled to sit at the table and can choose our own seat and can choose who belongs and who does not, we risk missing out at sitting near the shepherd. We miss out at being included in the meal altogether. The first step is to know what it means to be fed by Jesus. Do you know what this is? What it means to sit in prayer and to be fed? What it means to come to church and to be fed? What it means to serve or to give generously and to know that in the midst of that you are being fed? This is the first step to recognizing that Jesus is the one who feeds us. And when he says, come, everything is ready, we need to go to him. That is the first thing. But once we've experienced that, and we were singing earlier today, I'm so glad you're in my life. Once we've experienced that, we know that there is food to be shared with everyone. We know that there is a table where everyone can come and receive the food they need in the moment. Whatever it is that they are dealing with, whatever burden they have, there is a good shepherd who has summoned every human being to come to the table that has been prepared. And so the master asks us to join in the work. Go and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled, because everything is ready now. Jesus asks us to invite others, to invite everyone, and perhaps even to focus and to pay attention to people who feel like they are otherwise excluded in some way. Come. Who could we invite in our lives? Who could we invite people not only to come to church, not only to the events that we run? Who could invite people, who could you invite to pray? To open up the Bible? Or who might you invite again? Everything is ready now. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen.